ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिचन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पादां सहगणललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीन बंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। नमो भक्ति विनोदाय सच्चिदानंद नामिने गौर शक्ति स्वरूपाय रूपानुग वरायते। इन आवर मंगलाचरण प्रेयर्स व्हेन वी ग्लोरिफाई द प्रीवियस आचार्यस वी स्पीक दिस वर्स अबाउट श्रील भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर। नमो भक्ति विनोदाय सच्चिदानंद नामिने। आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस अनटू द ग्रेट वैष्णव ठाकुर whose name is Satchidananda Bhakti Vinod. He is Gaur Shakti Swarupaya. He is the Swarupa or the very embodiment of Gaur Shakti, of the energy, the spiritual energy of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And he is Rupanuga Vara. Rupanuga Varayate. So Vara means the best. So he is the best amongst the Rupanugas. As we all know, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are considered Rupanugas, those who follow in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has been proclaimed as being the best among the followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. What is the reason for this? Of course, one of the reasons, the external reasons, is that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written so many books following in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami, further elucidating, clarifying, elaborating upon the works of that great Acharya and the teachings of Sriman Mahaprabhu. Krishna Shakti Vinanahitara Pravartan. One cannot preach Krishna consciousness unless one has been empowered by Krishna. And we see this in the life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, most prolific writer of devotional literature in the modern times. He wrote over 70 to 80 different volumes, sometimes poetry, sometimes prose, sometimes lectures, very prolific output of literature. His timetable is indeed very, very astonishing. He would sleep for only a few hours every day. And despite his being a very, very responsible officer in the government, he was a district magistrate, and he would attend his court duties all day long, and then he would come home and he would have to do his sadhana, his bhajan, for many hours. And then he would have to look after his family. And still he would find time to write for a few hours every day. This was the nature of his prolific output. So definitely it's because he was specifically empowered by Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu that he could do such extraordinary things. He also elaborated upon Rupa Goswami's teachings, and therefore he is called Rupanugavara. But there is an internal reason as well for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to be called Rupanugavara, the best among the followers of Rupa Goswami. In his Kalyana Kalpataru songs, collection of songs, he says, Lalita Sakhir Ayogya Kinkari. He considers himself the unworthy servant of Srimati Lalita Devi. Now, of course, we all know that Krishna's topmost devotee is Srimati Radharani. The privilege of serving Krishna directly is hers alone. She is assisted by many of her gopi assistants, chief amongst whom is Lalita Devi, and along with her, of course, is also Vishakha Devi. Lalita Devi has her own group of sakhis, gopis, who assist her. And these sakhis also have younger assistants who are called manjaris. In the spiritual world, people live at the same age eternally. They don't age like we do here in the material world. So the Lord Krishna has his own age of a Nitya Kishore, an eternal adolescent youth, not more than 15 or 16 years of age. Similarly, Srimati Radharani is Nitya Kishori. She is also an eternally youthful young lady. So all the other gopis, the manjaris, the gopas, everyone is eternally at the same age. The manjaris are somewhat younger than the gopis. And in the Siddhi Lalasa prayers in his Gita Mala, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has actually revealed his own identity. And he says, Varane Tarit Vasataravali Kamala Manjari Nama Sharibaro Varshavaya Satata Swananda Sukhada Dhama. He says, Kamala Manjari Nama. My name in Goloka Vrindavan is Kamala Manjari. And this Kamala Manjari is a chief assistant, or the chief manjari of Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari is the chief manjari for Lalita Sakhi. Lalita Sakhi is the chief assistant for Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is the best devotee of Krishna. So the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. This is how it goes in the spiritual world. So because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Nitya Swarup, is Kamala Manjari, who is assisting Rupa Manjari, who is a servant of Sri Lalita Devi. Therefore, he is called Rupanugavara, the best amongst the followers of Rupa Goswami. Because in Krishna Leela, in Goloka Vrindavan, he is Rupa Manjari's chief assistant. And he says, Varane Tarit, that his complexion, that is his or her, her in Goloka, is that of lightning, golden complexion. And Vas Taravali, Vas means the clothing, Taravali means it's like the night sky with a sprinkling of stars, Tara. So that's the kind of dress that Kamala Manjari wears in Goloka Vrindavan. Shadebara Varsha Vayas Satata. Eternally Satata, Kamala Manjari is aged 12 and a half years. Slightly younger than the other gopis. Because Manjaris are younger, as I mentioned. And Swananda Sukhada Dhamma. And the residence, the place of residence is called Swananda Sukhada Kunja. in Goloka Vrindavan, there are many such transcendental places of pastimes. So the one that Kamala Manjari stays in is called Svananda Sukhada Kunja. And interestingly, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also named his places in Bhauma Navadvip also similarly. He had his house in Godruma Dvip in Navadvip Mandala. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore is not an ordinary person, not just because he is a great acharya, that certainly he is, but he is also extraordinary because he is an eternal associate of Sri Krishna and Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Many times the Lord descends himself personally to establish dharma, to display pastimes for attracting the conditioned souls back to him, and sometimes he sends his eternal associates who come here as acharyas, and then they deliver the conditioned souls by spreading the message of true Krishna consciousness. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is one such eternal associate who has descended at a time when it was very crucial that Mahaprabhu's message should be spread. A brief history would be in order. As we are all aware, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent, there was a golden age that began. And in this golden age, the Krishna consciousness movement actually spread the light of the spiritual world everywhere in the material world. His chief assistants were Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai, the six Goswamis led by Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. There were also Srinivas Acharya, Shyamananda Prabhu and Narottam Das Thakur. And there were other great contemporaries of theirs. At that time, Mahaprabhu's teachings in the light of Goloka Vrindavan was spreading far and wide. Many, many were becoming pure devotees of Krishna. Mahaprabhu, through his devotees, had established the Siddhanta, the true Siddhanta, the conclusions of Krishna consciousness. However, as happens in this material world often, with time, there is decay, degeneration, degradation, and so it happened that the pure sublime teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were misrepresented by certain classes of people for their own ends. And these classes of people started speaking things which were not in accordance to Mahaprabhu's teachings. And therefore they were called apasampradayas, those who teach things that are different from the real sampradayic teachings. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur identified 13 such apasampradayas who had begun. Amongst them, some of them are well known, like the Prakrita Sahajiyas, the Smarthas, the Jata Gosains, Aula, Baula, Katta Bhaja, Sakhi Bheki, Chuda Dhari, Ati Dhari. There are so many names they had. These were all the apasampradayas. And each of them are characterized by peculiar ways in which they differ from the teachings of Mahaprabhu, but they still call themselves followers of Mahaprabhu. They call themselves as Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So as a result of the intense misrepresentation by these apasampradayas of the pure sublime Vaishnava teachings of Sriman Mahaprabhu, there was a lot of misunderstanding about true Vaishnavism in the society. And it so happened that the elite educated Hindu community class, the class of people who were educated, they began to think ill about the Vaishnavas, because all they saw of Vaishnavas were these apasampradayas. And many of these apasampradayic people, they also indulged in illicit activities. So they brought Gauranga Mahaprabhu's movement and his sampradaya into disrepute. So many of the upper class Hindus were becoming turned away from Vaishnavism. And it was a time when the British had also become well established. And the British had also, by many ways, tried to discredit Vedic Sanatan Dharma and the Vedic scriptures and Vedic culture. So many of these upper class Hindus were becoming attracted to Western ways of thinking, and they tried to interpret and represent Vedic culture in this light. And therefore, there were people like Raja Ram Mohan Roy, who came up with the Brahma Samaj, which didn't represent the teachings of the Vedas properly. It was against the tenets of Vaishnavism. And there were also other great scholars like Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar, who also were agnostics. And they would spread their message like that. And they were very, very well regarded in the Hindu community and also by the British in those days. So many, many educated Hindus were moving away from the teachings of Mahaprabhu and going towards these other kinds of philosophies, because they were disgusted with the way that Vaishnavism was presented by these upper sampradayas. Of course, they did not know that these were upper sampradayas. They thought that this was what Mahaprabhu had taught. So as a result of this, there was a lot of confusion. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur came at this time. So he came to dispel the darkness. There were many periods of darkness that came after Mahaprabhu's departure. Some of them were after the disappearance of the Trinity, Shyamananda, Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya. And then again after some time, fortunately some great Acharyas came, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidya Bhushan. And then again after them there was a gap. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to spread the light of Goloka Vrindavan and the light of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings once again. It is explained that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was born in 1838 in the Shukla Trayodashi in the month of Bhadra, which is today's Tithi. The appearance and disappearance days of the Lord and the Acharyas are computed according to the Vaishnava calendar, not according to the according to the Western calendar. According to the Western calendar, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born on 2nd September, but the Tithi, or the day according to the Vaishnava calendar, falls today. So, at a very young age, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur displayed extraordinary learning and symptoms of devotion. Of course, just as when Krishna descends into this world in the human form of life, amongst the human beings, and he acts like a human, these pastimes are very attractive because Krishna behaves also like an ordinary human being. And therefore many people misunderstand Krishna to be a human being. Similarly, Krishna's associates who descend into this world also mingle amongst human beings as if they were also ordinary people. They also seem to go through the motions of going to school, studying, having parents, and so on and so forth. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also went through these motions. His father's name was Ananda Chandra Datta, and he was a descendant of a high-class Hindu whose name was Purushottam. Many, many generations before that, before Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared, perhaps more than 20 or 25 generations before that, there was a king in Bengal called Adishura. And he had invited many, many Brahmins and upper-class Hindus from other parts of India to come and settle down in Bengal. And because these Brahmins and other high-class people came and settled in different parts, they are now considered as part of Bengal. Some of the famous Bengali surnames like Chattopadhyay, it was anglicized as Chatterjee, they came and stayed near Chattagram, so they became Chattopadhyay, and later anglicized as Chatterjee. Similarly, Bandhopadhyay became Banerjee. Gangopadhyay came and settled near Ganga. They became Gangopadhyay or Ganguly. Mukhopadhyay became Mukherjee, like that. So they were all basically Brahmins who came from other parts of the country, especially from UP, Kannauj. And they came and settled down in Bengal. So at that time, one of the people who came was Purushottam. He was from not a Brahmin community, but a higher class community. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a descendant, materially speaking, from an everyday point of view, of this Purushottam. So his father was a great landlord. They were very aristocratic landlords, actually. And Kedarnath Datta, Kedarnath was a name given by his father. And at the age of two, he wrote his first poem. At the age of six, he had mastered all the details of epics like the Mahabharata and the Ramayana. By the age of nine, he was already doing research into astrological texts. And then he realized that astrology is not the ultimate. There's something much beyond astrology. And he started going into spiritual texts by the time he was 9 or 10 years old. At a time when most children are playing frivolously, or if at all they're reading, they read some very ordinary, mundane children's books. So he was already reading many, many spiritual texts. In his autobiography, he has narrated or related many charming episodes from his childhood. I would like to narrate some of those little pastimes. One time he was mentioning that there was a servant, a family servant, and he was very close to this family servant. And as children, they would go here and there playing around. And in the village, there was a rumor that there was a ghost who was living in a particular tree in the neighborhood. And naturally, as children will be, they were all fascinated and they would all gossip about it in hushed tones. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur one time tried to go to that tree and see. And he consulted this faithful servant of the family, who also happened to be a devotee. And he said, "There is a ghost in this tree." So the servant, he told him, "Don't worry about ghosts. A person who chants the name of Ram, he doesn't ever have to be afraid of ghosts." So young Kedarnath took this instruction to heart. And from that day on, he says, he has never stopped chanting the holy name. So he was always going, "Ram, Ram, 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 Ram." So it was like a kavach, like a shield, like an ammunition for him. So it gave him tremendous courage. And he went to that particular tree. And then he chanted, "Ram, Ram, Ram, Ram." So he was chanting the holy names of Ram. And then there was no trouble from the ghost. From that day on, he says, "I became fearless of ghosts." And in his adult life also, he would be dispelling many such unwanted elements that came up. So he was always chanting like this. And one time again, he mentions that one particular person in his neighborhood, he was a tantric. And he was misleading people. And as tantrics sometimes do, he had a skull. And he would say that if you offer water to the skull, then it smiles. So as a child, he was fascinated. He wanted to know whether the skull would smile at him. So he went and offered water, but the skull did not smile. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was disappointed. He said, "What is the use of all this? Better I stay with the name of Ram." Similarly, there were many, many such episodes. There was a Muslim servant also that the family had, and he would indulge in many, many nice discussions with him. And he would ask him, "So who has created all this?" And he would explain that it was Khuda. Khuda means Allah in their scriptures. And he would try to understand from him what it meant. And then he asked him if he was different from Ram. And he said, "No, there's only one God." In this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's discussions on religion and God began from an early childhood. Nowadays in Bengal, the Durga Puja is a very popular festival. it appears from his autobiography that it was also popular in his childhood. And the Murti of Durga Devi was being fashioned by some carpenter who was painting the deity. And he would go and sit with the carpenter as a child, and they would have many discussions. And one time he asked, when does God come into this form? So the carpenter said, well, when the deity is ready, and when the eyes are painted, that's when it comes. So he came when the eyes were being painted. But he writes, I didn't see God entering into the deity. Then he asked, but I didn't see God, so where is God? He said, when the Brahmanas chant mantras at the time of Pran Pratishtha ceremony, at that time the deity enters into, the Lord enters into the form, the Murti. So young Kedarnath went at the time when the ceremony was performed, but he went up to the carpenter and said, I didn't see the Lord coming. Then he said, I'll tell you the truth. He took him aside. I only believe in one God. I think all these different murtis and all these festivals are just done by the Brahmins who want to cheat the innocent public. For me, I only believe one God. So Kedarnath says, I was very satisfied to hear that explanation. Then I understood that there was no point worshipping all the different gods, that there was only one Supreme Lord. So in this way, from his very childhood, he started talking about God amongst two different people. And he went on and on. There are many, many such pastimes that Bhaktivinoda Thakur narrates. And one time there was a conversation he had when he entered school. It was a very prestigious school, and it had begun teaching English. In those days, any young boy who went to an English school, it was really something. And that time, Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar was a teacher there. He was considered a very, very great scholar. And Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar took a fancy to this young boy, Kedarnath. He had a soft corner for him. And one time, Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar mentioned in the class that since nobody has seen God, and we have not seen God, so there's no point talking about Him. So young Kedarnath put up his hand and says, Pandit Mahashaya, you have written a book for us, and you have mentioned that actually God is formless and He is Supreme Consciousness. So you just said that you haven't seen God. So if you haven't seen God, how can you write something about Him there in the book? Actually, it can't be. If God is omnipotent, then why will He not have the power to maintain a form? So if God is omnipotent, then He must also have a form. So Pandit Mahashaya, God actually has a form, and God is a person, and we are all devotees of God. We are eternal servants of God. So young Kedarnath, as a school student, began preaching to this great scholar, Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar. Those who are from Bengal, you have heard of Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar. So in this way, his preaching work began right then. As was the custom in those days, Kedarnath was married at the age of 11. His wife was 5 years old. But of course, the custom was that the wife would not come to the husband's house till she attained puberty. So she would remain in her father's house. And Srila Prabhupada explains in his teachings that there was a logic behind all these things. The idea being that even though the wife, or the girl, was very young when she was married, she didn't even understand what the word marriage meant, what husband is. She didn't know anything. But in her mind, it was fixed that she had a husband. So her mind would never go to any other man. So by the time she attained puberty, her mind was fixed on just one person. Similarly with the young boy, the husband. At 11, you don't really know much about what it means to be a husband. But in his mind, it was fixed, the boy's mind, that I already have a wife. So in this way, things went on like this. I remember one time we were preaching, and there was one young man who came to, who became a devotee. And then, you know, he was saying, I want to become a brahmachari. So I said, fine, good. But he said, there's one problem. So what's the problem? He said, I was married in my childhood. I said, really? So how come? He said, yeah, I came from a village. And I was very young. I was only 10 years old, but my parents married me off. So what should I do? So then, of course, I won't tell you what I discussed with him in the class. But sufficient to say that these things were happening even now in the villages. It does happen. And the logic behind it is like this, as I explained. So anyway, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur went on with his studies in the school, and eventually he went on to do studies, and he became very renowned at a very young age. Even when he was 18, he wrote his first book in English called The Poriad, which was very, very much acclaimed by the British and the other intellectuals at that time. And he started speaking, giving lectures at the Indo-British Society. He started writing articles, and he soon became renowned as a great intellectual. By Ishwarchandra Vidyasagar's recommendation, he got his first job as a school teacher. Very quickly, he became the headmaster when he was only 22 years old. And then he moved on, and he took on a government position. Very soon, he became the deputy collector or the district magistrate. And in one place, he saw that there was a big controversy going on between the Brahma Samaj and the Christians. And he spoke very strongly with the proper Siddhanta, establishing that neither were fully correct. But he preferred the Christians over the Brahma Samajis because he felt at least the Christians believe in a personal God. The Brahma Samajis were denying even that. At another time, some years later, he was in another place. And there was a big confrontation between the Brahma Samaj followers and the regular Hindus. And at that time, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur also intervened. And he wrote his famous essay, the book, the Bhagavat, its philosophy, ethics, and theology. And he established what true Hindu or Sanatana Dharma is, and what actual religion is all about. And there was no looking back from that time. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur, despite his administrative and judicial services for the British government, he wrote prolifically, one after the other. He was keeping on writing so many books. He also began to study deeply the works of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For many years, he was looking for a volume of the Chaitanya Charitamrita original, but he couldn't find it. And he was successful after many years. And then he embarked on a very deep study of the Gaudiya literature, including the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the commentaries of the previous acharyas. And then he started translating these commentaries from Sanskrit into Bengali, and he also added his own commentaries. And this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was completely absorbed in these activities, these scholastic devotional activities. And in the meanwhile, he continued to remain a very, very strong administrator. One time it so happened that in some place in Orissa, there was one of these Apasampradayic people. I think he was a Atibari or a Churadhari, I'm not sure. One of these Apasampradayas. And his name was Bishakshen. And he had proclaimed himself to be Mahavishnu. He was a yogi. And because of his yogic powers, he was able to do things that people thought miraculous. He could influence people. He could materialize things out of thin air. And as you know, the gullible and innocent public very often gets captivated by such display of yogic siddhis. And unscrupulous yogis like this sometimes proclaim themselves to be God. And Bishakshen did that. And very soon he gathered a very large following around himself. And he declared one day that very soon I will reveal my form as Mahavishnu. And I will drive away the British from here. And then one time he said, I will do my Rasa Leela. And he ordered all the young ladies of the nearby village to come there for Rasa Leela. Very soon, the elders of this village became very, very disturbed that all their young women had been polluted by this Bishakshen. So they went in a big delegation to the British representative, whose name was Ravenshaw. And Mr. Ravenshaw called Bhakti Vinod Thakur and handed over the investigation to him and said, "Now you take over this and do the needful." So Bhakti Vinod Thakur went straight to Bishakshen. Bishakshen tried to flatter him in many words, knowing of the reputation that Bhakti Vinod Thakur had as a very upright, intelligent and honest administrator and judicial officer. He tried to flatter him, but Bhakti Vinod was not impressed. Then he started declaring how he was actually Mahavishnu himself. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he actually warned him. He said, "Either you go away from here and stop these activities or else I will be obliged to punish you." Bhakti Vinod Thakur then embarked on a very thorough investigation of all the complaints that had come against Bishakshen. He went into the nearby villages, went home to home. He interviewed the different villagers and the aggrieved people and gathered a vast amount of evidence. And then he actually prosecuted him in the court and sentenced him to prison. He arrested Bishakshen. Meanwhile, Bishakshen, because he had yogic powers, he misused his yogic powers again. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur and his family members all had severe health problems. One time Bhakti Vinod Thakur had very high fever, which would not reduce. For days and days it continued. And everybody pleaded with Bhakti Vinod that, "Please let go of this Bishakshen. Your life is too valuable." But Bhakti Vinod Thakur would not listen. He was adamant. He said that such miscreants must be taught a lesson. And he continued on, and by sheer dint of his spiritual energy, he overcame the illness. And he understood that the power of Bishakshen was actually in his hair. It's very strange and what you would call in modern day language weird. The powers of the yogis, they sometimes reside in different places. So one time very boldly, Bhakti Vinod Thakur personally went with a pair of big scissors and he chopped off Bishakshen's hair, who was screaming, trying to prevent his hair from being cut, but he cut off the hair. And then after that, soon Bishakshen was fasting, but he could not survive for more than 21 days and he died. In this way, Bhakti Vinod Thakur is very strong as an administrator. So he was doing all these activities. When he, in the daytime, he would do all this, and in the evening he would go and translate books. So he set right not only this Bishakshen, but there were also others who came up. Somebody came up in Jajpur saying, "I am Brahma." Somebody came up in some other part of Orissa saying, "I am Balaram." So in every other day there was some incarnation that would arise. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur would actually set everything right and he would punish them very severely. He would do thorough research, establish the evidence, and then see that they were prosecuted very severely. Bhakti Vinod Thakur has contributed very, very greatly in many ways. One of the very great contributions Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur has done is that he identified the birthplace or the appearance place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time when he was at Tarakeshwar, the place of Lord Shiva in Bengal, Lord Shiva appeared to him in a dream. And he said, "You are thinking of going to Vrindavan, but there is so much service for you to do here in Navadvip. Don't think of going to Vrindavan." So a few days after that, he was posted to Kulinagram. Kulina is another place. So Kulia is the modern day Navadvip town. Those of you who have been to Mayapur, you know that Mayapur is in one side of the Ganges and the modern day Navadvip town is on the other side. Now, people thought there was nothing on the Mayapur side actually when Bhakti Vinod Thakur came. And people thought that Navadvip was where the modern day town was. Navadvip was of course nine islands, it was quite big. But the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not where people thought it was. So when he was there, living in the guest house, the government guest house, at 10 o'clock at night, one day, after a very tiring day in the courts and dealing with all the different problems of administration, it was a pleasant night. He went up to the terrace of his house just to cool off, and he was looking into the distance. It was overlooking the Ganga. Very, very pleasant situation. And just at that time, when he looked out into the distance across the Ganga, he saw a house that was effulgent. And that was a place called Ballal Dighi. And he wondered what that place was. The next day, he crossed the Ganga, and he went to Ballal Dighi, and he spoke to the local residents. And some of the elders there said, yes, we have heard that our forefathers have said that this was the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. But there were others who said that Mahaprabhu appeared on the other side of the Ganga, where modern-day Navadvip was. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur embarked on a research project. He went through many old manuscripts, and he found, eventually established, that yes, indeed, this Ballal Dighi is the place where Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared 350 years before. And then, later, the opportunity came for him to invite the great Vaishnav Sarvabhauma Jagannath Das Babaji. And Jagannath Das Babaji at that time was very, very old, and he was not even able to walk. He had to be carried in a basket on the head by his disciples. But he agreed to come. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur had him brought to Ballal Dighi at a particular place, Jagannath Das Babaji, who was so old and bent over that he could not even walk and stand, he jumped up into the sky very high, shouting, Hari Bol, and indicated that this indeed was a place where Mahaprabhu appeared. So these are Bhaktivinoda Thakur's very, very significant contributions. Some years after that, he actually went to Jagannath Puri. At the age of 70, actually he took Babaji Vesh, and he lived as a Babaji in Bhakti Kuti, and went into intense absorption in Naam Bhajan, in chanting the holy names. All day long he would be chanting and chanting and chanting. And in this way, 8 years after that, he performed his disappearance leela, Tirubhav leela. He returned to his eternal position in Goloka Vrindavan. He was very happy to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur amongst all his sons, shining with the light of pure devotion and scholarship. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came to him one time as a young man and told him, I want to dedicate my life to establishing the teachings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and spreading it everywhere, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very happy to hear this. And he blessed his son. Yes, may Mahaprabhu empower you to do this. One time when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was old and he was quite sick, he was invited to come and participate in a conference of Brahmanas. And because he was too sick, he sent his young son, Bhaktisiddhanta, who was also a genius like his father, like son. He said, you go and establish the proper viewpoint of a Brahmana. These Brahmanas think that by being born in a Brahmana family, one automatically becomes a Brahmana. They look at Vaishnavas in a bad light. They speak disparagingly about Brahmanas, considering that they think about Vaishnavas, I beg your pardon. They think the Brahmanas are superior to Vaishnavas. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta went there, and in a very historic debate and lecture, he demolished all the false conceptions of Brahmana by birth and established that actually the Vaishnava, the true Vaishnava, was much higher than any Brahmana. In Puri, even as Bhaktivinoda Thakur was preparing for his Babaji days, He would hear himself lectures in the Chaitanya Charitamrita given every day by his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He would relish them. He would sit there in Bhakti Kuti and hear his son speaking in a scholarly and devotional way. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself, of course, wrote many, many books. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say that our Gaudiya Math today is based on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we are indebted to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, to Srila Rupa Goswami, and to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So all the practices we follow in our Gaudiya Maths, all the teachings that we have are based on what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us. Among Bhaktivinoda Thakur's famous books, of course, there is his magnum opus, the Jaiva Dharma. He also wrote other books like the Krishna Samhita. He wrote commentaries also, the Rasik Ranjan commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary of Bhagavad Gita. He translated into Bengali and also added his commentary to it. His Amrita Pravaha Bhashya commentary of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is well known to ISKCON devotees who read Srila Prabhupada's books, because Srila Prabhupada has quoted many times from the Amrita Pravaha Bhashya. He also had a periodical, the Sajjan Toshini, the magazine, in Bengali as well as in English. He wrote the Chaitanya Shikshamrita. He also wrote the translation to the Chaitanya Upanishad. He wrote the Navadvip Mahatmya, the Amnaya Sutra. And in 1896, he sent his book, The Life and Precepts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English, to McGill University. And that was a year in which Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada appeared in this world. So it is not a coincidence that he began his book distribution in the year that Prabhupada actually was born. He also wrote a commentary, which is very well known among Gaudiya Vaishnavas, on the Shikshastakam prayers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's called the Sammodana Bhashya. He also wrote the Bhajan Rahasya. And he also translated Baladev Vidya Bhushan's commentary on the Vishnu Sahasranam. And he wrote numerous songs. And these songs can be basically divided into four books. Four books of songs. There is a Sharanagati, there is a Kalyana Kalpataru, there is the Geetavali, and the Geetamala. His songs are in very simple language, like Narottam Das Thakur's song. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur are considered, their songs are considered as good as the verses of the Vedas. In fact, they give more pleasure to Krishna than the verses of the Vedas, like the Purusha Sukta prayers and so on, because they are full of devotion. And they explain the highest conclusions of Krishna consciousness in a simple way for the understanding of the common person. So just as Prema Bhakti Chandrika and Prarthana of Narottam Das Thakur are greatly valued, so are the bhajans of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur desired that Vaishnavas should chant these bhajans. Our acharyas themselves have also taught us that along with the chanting of the holy names, we should also chant these various bhajans to inculcate the proper mood of devotion and humility. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajans are a storehouse, a treasure house of all devotional conclusions and mellows. So by chanting his bhajans, we can get tremendously purified and make advancement in our Krishna consciousness. So this afternoon, just before the Pushpanjali also, there will be some more chanting of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajans. So there is a lot more to say, of course, but we will have to stop here. Let us pray today to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur for his mercy upon us, that he may bless us, that we may be free from all the anarthas, and we may also follow in his footsteps and become true followers and devotees of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur avirbhav divas mahotsav ki jai. गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल हरे कृष्णा थैंक यू वेरी मच.